Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's On the Trail. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Adam Gray, as I am every single week. And today we're joined by a special guest. What's up, men's basketball assistant coach Neil Berry? How's it going, coach?
Things are good. Season is here, and excited about it, 2-0, so hopefully we can keep it going this upcoming Sunday against the Citadel.
Definitely. What's up, Adam?
Hey, I'm just happy to be here. Happy to be in Neil's presence, and, you know, how the season started.
Yeah.
What kind of goes on from you? We're obviously a recruiting podcast, so I'm going to ask you a recruiting question. We know in the summer you're out of tournaments all the time. How does recruiting look for you guys and the coaching staff during the season?
Well, the way we have it, each assistant coach has different opponent scouts, and so whenever we have the scout, we're kind of locked into that team, you know, watching film, preparing for that. But the other two assistants will try to kind of look at schedules of kids we're recruiting to maybe see if we can go watch them practice, maybe go catch a game, just depending on, you know, on that. And if, you know, if we all have a week off from games, and we'll kind of get out there and try to get to tournaments and games and different things like that. So
in the way social media works today too, you can pretty much be engaged with kids 24/7, can't you?
Yeah, no doubt.
Is that put a little more pressure on you as a coach, just to, I mean, it feel like if you're not constantly in front of this kid talking to him, somebody else will be? I mean, do you ever get a chance to put this phone down right here?
Yeah. Not much. Yeah, but you know, I mean, I think, you know, hopefully kids will get on Twitter and follow our Cyclone basketball page. Matt Schultz does an unbelievable job of updating and putting different graphics out in our games and things like that. So hopefully people get to see that stuff. And then we do, you know, we have all the resources in the world to know when kids are playing, you know, where they're playing, to where we can text them before, afterwards, see how the game goes and all that. So it you do have to do it. That's part of it. You just kind of constant communication with prospect or somebody involved in it. So
how is that different even from when you first started coaching, or has it always been that way for you, I guess?
It's always been that way. I just think there's more avenues to find an information out now.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's, you know, sometimes it's not the right information, but there is always information out there. So, you know, you're always, I mean, I think as an assistant, you're always kind of checking, you know, the social medias and things like that.
But, yeah.
I guess it's changed just because of the amount of information you get, but it's a lot of the same routine as it always has been.
What's it like for you? I mean, I know what it's like for us, like as people that are kind of on the outside, when you hear that a kid's maybe going to come close to making a decision, and then you hear stuff on Twitter, you see stuff on from different people about how he's leaning one way or another. What's that like for you, I guess, like as a coach, seeing all that different stuff and then trying to kind of decipher all of it and see what's real and what's not?
Yeah, it can be challenging. You know, I mean, you know, the thing you hope in the recruiting process of prospects is that you build a great relationship with not only the prospect, but the people around them. And there is a trust factor there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is a lot of misled and misguided information, you know, on social media, you know, and you don't always know where that information's coming from and what the motives are to that information. So, you know, I think the thing we do is we see things like that, depending on what prospect is, we ask, you know, hey, what's going on? Where is it? What, you know, and then you also have to go with your gut, and if, you know, if you trust them and there is a good relationship there and they're telling you one thing and that's not what you're hearing, you kind of got to figure it out. But it can be stressful.
Definitely, I bet.
Stressful at times.
Can you give us kind of a rundown or breakdown of how the process starts from even the beginning? I mean, obviously, once you get to know somebody, I mean, we know you try to get them on campus here and show them kind of what everything Ames, Iowa is about. But how do you even get there? I mean, is it relationships with coaches, or is it, I mean, how do you typically get an in for a certain recruit?
You know,
it's not the same way every time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could be internet. You know, we have different people that send us information on just prospects all over the country. Some do junior college prospects, some do high school, some do, you know, this region, that region. So there's a lot of different ways you find out about kids. It could be word of mouth, you know. I think all of us have friends at different schools that we might not be competing against every day, you know, in recruiting, and they might say, hey, saw this kid play, think he fits what you guys do, might want to check into him. And then, you know, then it's kind of more about follow up and see where it goes from there. So there's not one specific way, you know. I just think there's a lot of avenues to it now, and especially with social media. I mean, you can get on there and you can see a kid scored 30 points that might be 3 hours away, and then it's just a phone call and try to find out if the, you know, the kid can help you or not. So
okay.
What are some of the things that when, or here, I'll start with this. When you, during like the summer evaluation period, what's that like for you being out on the road all the time? And like, how many different places did you go this past summer trying to see kids?
Man, I don't even remember all the places, to be honest with you. You know, in the spring, so we had 2 weekends in the spring that we went recruiting. And then you have the 3 full weeks in July.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like every year they get more tournaments, you know, and kids are kind of playing all over the country. You know, you would hope that it would just be, you know, one tournament 1 week, one tournament the next week, one tournament the next week, but it's not like that. It's just, you know, kid could play in multiple tournaments in 1 week. So it's fun. You know, it's exciting. I think early on, by week 3 of July, I think you're ready to – I think everybody's ready to shut it down. Kids are tired. Everybody, you know. So, but there is an exciting factor to it once you get out and you kind of, especially if you've been talking to kids, you want to see them play. You want them to see you and just.
How is that from the coaching profession? I mean, because obviously you're seeing the same guys over and over at a lot of these tournaments. Do you, even though you're competing for a lot of these recruits with them, is there a little bit of that? You enjoy going and talking to other coaches? Is that kind of professional courtesy that you guys like enjoy being around each other? Or is it, hey, you're going out to the same guy as me, I'm going to stay at the other side of the gym, I'm not going to talk to you? How does that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on, you know,
who the coach is.
Yeah, exactly, all that. But, I mean, most of the time, I think people are, you know, most coaches are pretty cordial and they do talk. I mean, obviously, they don't share specifics and things like that. But it's good. That part of the summer is really good because, you know, you do develop relationships with different coaches through, you know, just throughout your career and, you know, just being able to see them on the road and things like that. And a lot of times you get to talk basketball and just different – pick people's brains for ideas. If somebody had success on the court this way or that way, you kind of talk to them about that too. So, you know, it's that part's really cool to be able to, you know, get to spend time with other coaches and things like that.
Well, I got to ask you. Everyone's excited about Lindell Wigginton.
Yeah.
You were one of the key guys bringing him in. Tell us a little bit about Lindell's game and then the overall process of what it took to get Lindell here, how that went down.
Man, from a player-wise, I mean, he's a big-time athlete. And he's a kid that can really, really score the basketball. You know, I think he's going to continue to improve from the point guard aspect, you know, because in AAU he played all point guard. In high school he kind of plays both. But, I mean, he can really, really score the basketball. He can make shots. You know, I think he's going to be a really good defender just based on his athleticism and things like that. So, you know, we're definitely excited about him as well as Darius and Terrence. I mean, I think all three of them fill major, major needs for what we have graduating. You know, the way the whole process started, it's funny. You know, you talk about how do you find out about kids and things like that. So Coach Prohm had an assistant at Murray State who's now the head coach at Murray State, a guy named Matt McMahon, and he texted Coach in April, saw the kid play, and just said, hey, saw this point guard. You know, he knew we were looking for a point guard and said, man, I think that kid fits what you're looking for in that position. And, you know, went down there and saw him, watched him one time in April down in Dallas. I was like, yeah, man, he's definitely – what it's about, you know, and you know, you kind of hear all the swirlings about ways just it's done deal going to Oregon and things like that because of the whole quote-unquote Canadian pipeline. And, you know, you just make a couple calls and realize it might not be that. And, you know, then from there, you know, you try to get coach and as involved as he can be. And, you know, he comes from a great family, a really, really good family that is what they are truly about family. You know, his dad, his mom, his brothers – grandparents, aunts. I mean, it is a unique dynamic. And I think that fit what we're about here, you know, and I think they appreciated, you know, how Coach recruited them and, you know, the contact. And, you know, when he got here to campus, I mean, you know, we are who we are here at Iowa State. You know, we're not going to maybe blow you away with the things that Oregon and certain schools have to sell, but the people here are unbelievable. And I mean, you know, from our leadership, from, you know, Dr. Leith to Jamie and on. I mean, everybody came in contact with our academic coordinator, Natalie. I mean, you know, that's what we have to sell is people. And, you know, and if you're not about that, then you ain't coming, you know. But yep. If you are and you do come from that kind of background, then, you know, I think it's going to appeal to you. And the success that we've had here, you know, from Coach Hoiberg coming in and with all the players they had and what that staff did to get this place where it's at, and then, you know, the success we had last year and, you know, George and Abdul getting drafted. I mean, that all that helps.
Yeah.
And then when you see obviously he hadn't been here for a game, but to see, you see Hilton in the videos and things like that, I mean, there ain't much like it. So, you know, I think that's it worked for him. It worked for Darius. It worked for Terrence. It might not work for every kid. And if it doesn't, that's all right, you know. But if you're about what we're about, I think you kind of attract who you are. And I think him and his family, they appreciated that. So it worked out good.
What was it like for you and the coaching staff? Because, I mean, you had to have – you look at it here, there's six seniors in this team. Yeah. You're losing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You probably felt a little bit of pressure, like, we got to go get some players here. I mean, did you feel that when you first came in? Because this is your first year as a full assistant, taking over when TJ left, correct?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden to get that big commitment from Lindell Wigington. I mean, was it just like kind of a weight off your shoulders a little bit? How would, you know, did you guys go out and have a couple cocktails afterwards to celebrate? What did you guys do?
I don't drink much, so, but yeah, you know, I mean, it started with Terrence. I mean, that, you know, he was the first one that jumped on board, you know, August, whatever, 3rd, 4th, whatever, he committed to us. I mean, you know, he saw the vision, and obviously, you know, TJ had done a great job building that relationship, but then D-Rob took over the day TJ left and did an unbelievable job, and Coach, you know, I mean, Coach, you know, a lot of things get misconstrued in the whole recruiting. The head coach has got to be really good, and he's got to be able to sell himself and sell his vision and develop that relationship, and Coach does an unbelievable job with it. I mean, of truly spending time with these kids, you know, and he's a guy, he don't ever put that thing down. You know, I mean, he's nonstop doing something. And, you know, but it started with Terrence, and then Darius jumped on board, and, you know, we knew, like, once we got those two guys, all right, man, let's see, we really like those two guys. They're going to be, you know, we feel like they're going to be really, really good players here in this program. So now let's take a swing and just see what happens. And we felt, you know, like Lindell's situation was going in a good direction, and it worked out. So
how often did you fly to Virginia to see him?
Oh, man, as many times as we could legally. We were there a lot. We were there a lot. And they actually, it's not an easy trip. You know, it's funny. Coach Small had been there before. I'd never been there. Even working in North Carolina and South Carolina, I'd never been to Oak Hill before. And, you know, Coach Small had told me, man, it's up in the woods now. And it is. I mean, it is in the middle of nowhere. And it's crazy. Coach and I, the first time Coach came with me, we're driving up there, and we're about 6 miles from the school, and in the middle of the road is a bear just hanging out in the middle of the road. And I was like, man, is that a bear? And Coach is like, yeah, sucker just darts off in the woods. So that's what you deal with, you know. I mean, it was crazy, but that place is unbelievable, because it's, you know, it's funny, you go there and you know Oak Hill, and you see Oak Hill, and you see all these players that come from Oak Hill, but it's a lot like what Iowa State's like. You know, it's not this like fancy, just unbelievable place, but the people are amazing, and, you know, they're about basketball. It is a basketball school, and it was a pretty cool experience. I didn't do that.
The natural comparison, you've had a great point guard here for 4 years, Monte Morris. When he leaves, he'll have many records at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Lindell's going to get compared to him. It's going to happen. Is that fair to him, and does he know that, and do you think that'll be anything that'll bother him?
I definitely don't think it's fair because, I mean, he is still going to be an 18, 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know, Monte's unbelievable, you know. And I think they're different. They're different type of players.
It sounds like that when you're describing him. Yeah. He's a little bit more of a scorer. Monte's kind of a facilitator that gets his buckets when he needs to, so to speak.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I'm sure, though. I mean, that's just natural for people to compare people and all that. But, you know, I think Coach has experience with that, you know, from his days at Murray when he had the kid Isaiah Cannon. Then he left and Cameron Payne came in. You know, I think everybody compared him and put a lot of pressure on him. And it'll be a learning curve. You know, I mean, there's going to be pressure on Darius and on Terrence and, you know, and even more than that, probably Nick and Donovan returning. You know, I mean, just because what we graduate and not only the players they are, but the people they are. And so it will be natural, but I think they're completely different players. I just do, you know, they're just, but every kid's different, you know, so.
How much is
hopefully he's good. Hopefully he can help us win as many games.
Yeah, for sure. But, how much do you guys use you talked about Cameron Payne and Isaiah Cannon. How much are you guys able to use that kind of as a selling point when you talk to guards? I know the first time I ever talked to Darius, right before he came on his visit, he told me that the first thing that really caught his eye about Coach Prohm was that he had two guards in the NBA already. Is that something that you guys are able to sell to kids and say, you know, we've had success putting guys like this in the NBA?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we definitely talk about it, you know, because I mean, that's what every high school kid, every college kid, that's their aspirations. You know, you hope that's their aspirations. So to see that and have guys there, I mean, it'd be crazy for us not to talk about it. So, you know, yeah, we use it a lot. I mean, and the style of play, you know, I mean, Coach gives our guys a lot of freedom. You know, I mean, he demands a lot defensively, and you know that's kind of something we got to continue working on and getting better. But offensively, I mean, he lets these guys play.
Right.
I mean, and that's, you know, from a player perspective, like, you want to play for somebody like that you're not worried about looking over your shoulder and was that a good shot, was that a bad shot, was that the right play. You know, I mean, he when they get out in the game, I mean, I think they have a total freedom. So we sell all that for sure.
So speaking of a player that I think will really thrive in the freedom, Darius McNeil. You look at him, he might not have the ratings of Lindell or even Terrence, but I'll never forget the first time I found out you guys were recruiting. I watched his tape, and his athleticism just jumps out. Just a smooth player that when you have that freedom in the open court, it seems like a player of his caliber can really stand out. How do you see him kind of fitting in on this team, and what's his ceiling? Because I look at him as a kid that's got a tremendous ceiling. I'm sure you guys probably think the same thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Small did an unbelievable job with him of evaluating him early and just, you know, and sticking with him. Even, you know, because sometimes, you know, you see these different ratings and they, you know, certain people don't have them or this and that. But, you know, it is, you do have to go with what you see and your gut feel on it. And Coach Small and Coach Prohm did an unbelievable job. He is an elite level athlete. You know, he's not, I don't think, quite as physically put together as Lindell, but, you know, the thing that Coach likes in guards, and this is every guard, is guys that can dribble, catch, and shoot. Yeah, I mean, dribble, pass, and shoot. And, you know, he's a kid that can do that. What position is he? I don't know. But, you know, Coach likes having guys out on the floor that can do multiple things. I mean, you see it this year with, you know, with Naz, Matt, Monte, Donovan, and Nick. All five of those guards can kind of do all three of those things, some a little bit better than others at certain of them. But that's how Coach wants to play, you know. So I think Darius, you know, he really, really works at his game. I mean, he puts a lot of time in the gym. And, you know, I think the one thing that he right now, I think he's kind of a streaky shooter. If he makes one, he can really, really get going. But I think as he continues to improve on that, you know, his athletic ability, his passing ability, I mean, we think he's got a chance to be really, really good. And, you know, hopefully he can step in and help us next year too.
One of the things that's really trendy, like, it not just in college basketball, but just in basketball in general, is kind of the idea of positionless basketball. It seems am I off base here? It seems like that's kind of what you guys are trying to do with some of these guys. Like, they're not pinpointed. I'm not just a point guard. I'm not just a shooting guard. I'm not just a small forward. They're guys that can just do a lot of different things out on the floor and are really versatile.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that's, you got to have guys that can do that, you know. And number one, you got to have guys that can make plays, make shots, because at the end of the day, the ball's got to go through the hoop for us. You know what I mean?
Right.
A good amount. And
going with that, is Terrence Lewis, I mean, is he a guy that you could see? A lot of times you guys are going small ball. You're putting Burton at the four, maybe even the five, depending on.
Yeah.
Does Terrence Lewis give you that opportunity too? Is he big enough for that?
I think so, yeah. You know, now physically early, I don't know. You know, I mean, hopefully we can get him here in the first part of the summer and just continue to add strength to him. But he's a tough kid. You know, his dad's his high school coach. Again, comes from a tremendous family. Like, he's a kid that, you know, I think he's going to be able to play a lot of different positions for us. You know, he can really make shots. So I think he's definitely going to be one of those guys that you can kind of throw all over the floor, kind of similar to Deontay Abdul maybe when he was here. You know, so – but, you know, the thing that will be, you know, next year is that they're freshmen. You know?
Yeah.
So there's just – I mean, there's a difference between a freshman and a 22, 23-year-old senior. There just is. So
– sure.
There will be bumps in the road, I'm sure. But, you know, we definitely think that their talent and ability will be – really good for us.
When you got these three guys in, and I'm sure even for guys you're recruiting for the 2017 class, you guys knew you were going out to Maui. Yeah. From 2018. Is that a selling point for you guys right now? And is that something where, you know, maybe guys' eyes light up a little bit? Hey, you get to go out to Hawaii. You get to play against Duke. You get to play against Gonzaga. You get to play against all these elite schools in the country. Yeah. On ESPN. Is that a big selling point for you guys as well?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I think, you know, Coach and Micah Byers, our director of operations, do an unbelievable job with our scheduling. And, you know, so, yeah, we definitely sell that stuff. I mean, that's something that we talk about to them, you know, once they get here to campus, sometimes even beforehand, about, hey, man, we're playing the best. And then the league, man. I mean, the Big 12, you know, like, ACC gets a lot of hype, and well-deserved, because they have had a lot of success in the postseason and things like that. But, I mean, the Big 12, if you look at numbers the past 3 years, has been the best conference in the country. You know, we've had 7 out of 10 teams in the tournament the past 3 years. RPI-wise, has been number one. So, I mean, every night you're playing against the best, you know. I mean, the amount of draft picks that come out of this league compared to other leagues is crazy. And, you know, and then every game's on TV.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, about maybe last year it was 30 or 35 games, I think, on national television. This year it's 28 or 35, you know, whatever. So, I mean, all that stuff you definitely use, for sure.
I guess what do you guys do now, like, moving forward? I mean, it's kind of I think it's probably a little bit of a slow period now for you guys with recruiting, is it? Or, you know, with the end of the early period. And then what is your guys' kind of plan, I guess, moving forward into the later period and into the spring?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's ever really slow. I guess it does a little bit just because the season's here. You know?
Yeah.
So obviously I think everybody's a little bit more focused on their team, you know, and like I said earlier, with opponent scouts and things like that. But, you know, we still go out as much as we can, you know, as much as the rules allow us to try to be out and see, you know, if it's younger kids. And then, you know, also continuing to look for the 2017 class, because we still have some guys we definitely need to get. You know, I think the one thing that we're definitely, you know, we're always communicating about as a staff is, you know, we don't want to get too young. You know, I mean, no matter what the level of talent is, you know, you just, you know, freshmen are freshmen, you know. And so you don't want to get too young. And I think, you know, obviously this year is huge for us, you know, just in the backcourt with Nick and Donovan and Jacoby and the progress they continue to put, you know, this year. You know, we need those guys to continue to grow to be ready to step in next year and kind of be, you know, main guys for us. So, you know, I think we'll continue to kind of look for older options a little bit, you know, and obviously just best player that we feel can help us.
Definitely.
So that's got to be kind of a big transition from high school to, you know, maybe a JUCO or even a grad transfer, which we see, because is that a lot shorter period of time where it's maybe a little more pressure as far as how quick you have to build that relationship. Where in high school, you might have a year or two to build a relationship with a kid. A transfer, a JUCO player, it's a lot more condensed. How do you, you know, battle the differences right there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, junior college, you still have time. And a lot of times there's kids that you know, you might have known them in high school and now they're in junior college, you know. I think that where it becomes really tight with trying to develop a relationship and things like that is just when you get closer to the signing period in April.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just some things pop up so quick, so it can be bang, bang, you know, and you're just trying to, hopefully you have an in and maybe have known a kid at some point, you know. But it is different. The spring signing period is much different than the fall signing period. And sometimes you know, the fall signing period, sometimes you can almost overanalyze things, you know, because you're like, man, in the spring signing period, you don't have time to analyze as much.
Yeah.
So it is different. But
what's it like going after those graduate transfers, and what's that process like? I mean, I'm sure that that's pretty like a cutthroat deal.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, and you know, thankfully we got two this year that I think are really going to help us. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and they're just, you know, the thing about graduate transfers are 23.
Yeah,
they're just older. You know, they've been through a lot of different things. They've been through a lot of different experiences. They understand how to mentally prepare themselves, physically prepare themselves. They understand what a college practice is like, the demands of it. So, you know, even if they're not the guy that'll be the first team all conference guy, they still help in so many different ways because they've done it. But yeah, it's quick. I mean, it's quick. And you know, I mean, you go after them because you have a need.
Yeah.
And then you got all the same selling points you have with every other kid. And again, you hope it's what that kid's looking for.
How the coaching staff here, you guys seem like a close-knit group.
Yeah.
How is it, you obviously mentioned, you know, you were kind of in on Lindell. Coach Small was in with Darius. Are all you guys still communicating with the recruits a little bit, even though that might be Coach Small's guy? Are you still texting him, calling him, just so they kind of get the feeling of a family from the entire staff? How does that process work? Or do you kind of just let the coach run with his guy a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a little bit of both. It's kind of more the main guy, the point man is involved. But, you know, once they get here to campus, I mean, there is a lot of communication amongst us, just, you know, so we kind of know, you know, what's important with each kid and each family and things like that. So, you know, we do communicate with them. I think not only the main guys that can go recruiting, but just everybody involved, like I said earlier, with Iowa State about welcoming kids, you know, the fans. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I mean, it's like they've known these kids forever, just
yeah.
With all the information they're putting out to them and everything like that. So, you know, I mean, I think I said it at one point earlier, you are who you are. You know, you have to be who you are, and you can't, you know, I mean, kids more than anybody, I think, see through that if you're putting on a show and things like that. So we are who we are. I mean, that's, you know, I think we do have a close staff and things like that. So hopefully kids and parents see that and realize that, man, this really is a family situation. It's great to talk about that. You know, I mean, a lot of people, I think family and culture are the two most overused words in athletics now, but you know, people know, they know if it's real or not. So
do you you brought up the fans, do you guys, like, do you hear it when they're, you know, they get pretty infatuated with some of these guys?
Yeah.
when once you get their names start coming up, do you guys hear that, or do you even notice it, or is it I guess I don't know. Do you guys even notice like that they're, you know, sometimes they start getting so hyped up on these guys that even if maybe, you know, it's not like that in the process or anything like
yeah.
that?
I mean, you see it on social media.
Yeah.
They're just all over. I mean, because a lot of these kids start retweeting things that fans are saying and all that. And that is cool. I mean, I think kids like that. I mean, it's attention. It's, you know, they're kind of, it's cool to know mm-hmm. that people from wherever know you, know who you are, and know about you. But man, that here, man, I've never, you know, I mean, I've worked at other schools. I've never been anywhere like that where the fans truly care. And you know, it's just, and we, I mean, that's a major selling point for us. I mean, we went up to Sioux Falls last last year for the first game at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and you walk out of the gym against Colorado, and there's 4,500 people in Cardinal Gold, and it's like, whoa, this is real, man. Like, they, you know, you just don't – I mean, it's, most people are probably working, you know, or a lot of people are, and they're just packed in there. And then, you know, Sweet 16 in Chicago, you're pulling up. And we're miles away from the United Center, and it's – I mean, the streets are just flooded with Iowa State people, and, like – there aren't many places that you get that, you know?
You see it all across college basketball, too, and even college football. Attendance seems to be going down like crazy. We're not seeing that here at Iowa State at all, obviously. Even the first game you're playing Savannah State, not a great opponent. That place is packed.
Packed.
That's unbelievable. I'm just kind of going on a rant here, but did you see what the Arkansas game yesterday? The coach from Southern Illinois went on a huge rant about how Arkansas fans need to get their butts into the seats and yada, yada, yada. And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking, man, we are so lucky here at Iowa State because, I mean, we take it for granted sometimes.
Oh, no doubt.
So it is kind of refreshing, too, to hear that you guys, I mean, it is a huge selling point for you. And as soon as you guys get people here, especially into a game at Hilton, I mean, I don't know how any 17, 18-year-old kid can't look at it and say, man, I'd love to play at this place.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This would be awesome.
No, it is, man. It's not just that they're there. They're into it. Like, I mean, our fans do it. I mean, they are into it. They seem to have a really good knowledge of the game. I mean, but, you know, just the passion they have for it is you feel it when you come here. You know, you come to a football game and you're going through the tailgate and everything like that. Like, you see that it matters. And
what was the first game at Hilton where it really stood out to you? Like, this place is different. It's legit. Was it the Iowa game last year when you guys made the big comeback, or was it even before that?
Well, that, yeah, but the exhibition game. We rolled out there last year and there was – I mean, I don't know if it's 14-5, but it felt like it was packed. I was like, wow, this is – but then the Iowa game, that was different. I mean, that was just – I mean, you know, I've experienced some loud arenas before. My senior year in college, we played Oklahoma State in Oklahoma City in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I thought that was really loud. You know, being in Rupp when I was in South Carolina, we won a game there one time, and it was loud. But I've never, ever experienced anything like that with when we played Iowa last year. And just the three that George hit when Jameel, you know, I think Monte drove in there, missed a layup, Jameel tips it out. It was the most unbelievable play, and George hit it. Like, I was just sitting on the bench like, this place is nuts. Like, and that was different. And, you know, Kansas is obviously great, but, I mean, even going there, it just doesn't – I don't think it compares. I mean, that, to me, you know, maybe I'm biased, but
– I agree, if it helps.
Yeah. So we'll go with that. That was crazy. That game was insane.
That was. So, you got any more questions for him before I got some – I have some fun questions for you here.
It's all you.
You've been here for, what, about 19 months now?
Shoot, yeah.
Where's your favorite place to eat here in Ames?
Oh, Vesuvius Pizza.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We love it. Yeah, my family and I love it. We probably go there once a week.
What kind of pizza you get? Meat lover's guy? You get a little Supreme?
I kind of mix it up there. They got a bunch of unique ones.
So yeah.
I'll do a different one almost every time. But they got a Buffalo Blue that's pretty good. I like spicy stuff. So
okay.
Hot sauce on it.
So you're obviously a Southern guy. You were from Mississippi, played at Southeastern of Louisiana. How's the winter treat you up here so far?
Right now it's 60.
Well, it's great now. Yeah.
It's awesome.
You're loving it.
Yeah.
Last year, was it kind of, did it take you a little bit of time to get used to it?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you're outside for like 3 minutes a day.
Sure.
You know, you're just sprinting from the car to the office, you know, so, I mean, we're fortunate with that. We bought a house that's 2 minutes from Sukup, so I didn't want to be driving around it and stuff. But it's crazy. The roads are cleared in like 5 hours. I mean, it just seems like they're, you know, you wake up and the roads are fine. So it's tough. I mean, it's cold. You know, the coldest experience was we played Baylor. Had that tough loss on that Saturday afternoon last year. And, you know, at Hilton, you walk out of that tunnel, you know, walking, you know, you walk down the ramp and you walk out. And when we walked out of the ramp that day, it was, I mean, I think it was like negative 20-something wind chill. And it was, the wind was whipping. That was painful.
Yeah.
Ashley, my wife, told me that when she walked the kids up there, literally, they hit the top of the ramp.
Yeah.
And both kids started screaming, crying.
Oh.
Because it was that cold. So, but.
So how many kids do you have?
I have two.
Two.
Yeah. to.
Ages?
I have a 5-year-old boy and a 2-year-old daughter. So
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the biggest blessing that you could ever have. I mean, that's awesome to see them grow. And this community, it's great. It's a great family community for sure.
You bring the 5-year-old to practice sometimes? Can you lower the hoops there at all for him?
No, we don't lower the hoops. Yeah, he'll come in here on off days and he'll run around and, you know, he likes lining. These guys got these foam rollers they stretch with and he just likes lining them up and jumping through those things. Yeah. So.
So you played basketball at Southeastern Louisiana.
Yep.
Anyone on the staff compete with you from 3-point range? Are you the best shooter? You got the smooth stroke?
No.
No?
Yeah, and looked at my college stats yet. I was not a shooter.
What are you, the Doug Gottlieb of guards?
Yeah, I was. I was catch it and pass it to the next guy pretty much.
You played on some great teams there.
Yeah, our last 2 years were really good. You know, and it was a cool experience because we really struggled early on. And Coach Prohm was there all 5 years. Coach Small was there the first 3 years. So, you know, the relationships I have with those guys is, you know, I mean, we got a lot of funny stories we tell between, you know, just reminiscing. But, the last 2 years was cool just to see where we had come from. You know, because we were the bottom. I mean, we were probably 351. I don't know how many Division I teams there were then, but we were last probably of all of them early on.
Last, all of a sudden, I think you finished first your last 2 years in conference, and then you guys, like you said, went to the NCAA tournament your senior year.
Yeah.
Had been quite an experience
for you. Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, you know, that was the first time flying in a charter plane. You know, from there, you're all used to these buses and these long trips and everything like that, so that was really cool to experience all that, to have the police escort and things like that. You know, a lot of people, you can take that for granted here when you do it on, you know, the conference tournament and things like that, but like for schools at that level, like you just, man, it's a dream come true. You
I know? Bet.
Yeah. What was the moment like when Coach Prohm, I don't know if he called you or whatever, he calls you up and he says, I'm going to Iowa State. I want you to come with me. What's that kind of like for you? What did you know about Iowa State even before you got here?
Yeah, you know about. I mean, I'm kind of a junkie. I like watching a lot of games. Uh-huh. I mean, I'd watched a lot of games before and knew about the roster. Didn't know, obviously, you know, great deal about it, but knew about the really good players and, you know, the success that Coach Hoiberg had had. Uh-huh. I was forever grateful that he, you know, he gave me this opportunity, you know, and even in the position it was last year was awesome for me just because it was a different, you know, it's amazing. I couldn't be on the floor. So just the different perspective you have and you get and, you know, the things you see. So it was awesome, man. It's a dream come true for sure.
In football, we have an offense coordinator, defense coordinator, wide receivers coach. Are you a specialist at anything as an assistant? Do you kind of handle the offense, the defense, or how does that work?
Yeah, no, you know, coach doesn't really delegate it like that. You know, we do kind of, I mean, I guess you would say I work with the guards a little bit more. You know, we do some pre-practice stuff every day that's kind of more position specific. So I do work with the guards on that. You know, we're kind of all in with everything.
All defense, hands on all, deck.
Yeah. You know, that's just kind of how coach does it. You know, I think some basketball staffs have kind of started going the whole football model. Coach hadn't done that. You know, we just all get in there and kind of talk through it and, hey, what do we need to do here? What do we need to do there? And just try to figure it out. Yeah. And, you know, when you got good players, it makes it a little easier. So
you said you're a basketball junkie. If you're not obviously watching Iowa State, what's the one team you like watching, whether it be for players or coach, or is there one college team that right now this year they're on TV, you want to make sure you're watching them?
Oh, man, I probably just had the TV on. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's one specific team.
There's not like a coach that, you know, you just love the style he plays or the way he coaches and his demeanor. Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, I've always liked Tony Bennett from afar.
Yeah.
You know, just who he is as a man more than, you know, even a coach. But, you know, so I don't really like watching Virginia play because they kind of grind it out.
Especially after they beat us. We can't say that anymore.
No doubt, yeah. But, you know, I kind of like watching basketball. I mean, you just never, you know, you could be watching a game, you just pick up an idea or see something that, hey, man, that might be something we could do, or, you know. But, you know, and then just the relationships. If there's certain coaches I know on certain staffs, I'll obviously watch them. I mean, Texas A&M, I try to watch them every time they're on TV because, I'm so close with Coach Kennedy and a couple of their assistants. So, just more and more just watching hoops like last night, you know, all those games were on last night at the house. So, I say all the time, you know, after 8:30 when the kids go to bed, because before that it's –
What, Dora? What is it for kids these days?
Man,
I should know, but
yeah,
my kid's watching Power Rangers. My 4-year-old, he loves watching the old Power Rangers on Netflix.
It's flying the through. Worst ever, isn't it?
Well, I don't watch it with them. I'm cleaning in the background and stuff. And
that's a challenging one if you ever have to watch it with them.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. You know, Ty likes, I mean, he watches all the superhero stuff, you know. Kendall, I don't.
All the Avenger ones.
Yeah. Kendall just watches whatever he watches. So
just wants to be like Big Brother.
Yep, that's it. So
if you're not watching basketball, what other sport you watch? You a football fan? Baseball?
Baseball, baby. They're the Cubs, man.
Oh, you're a Cubs fan?
You kidding me?
Since this year? Did you just jump on the bandwagon this year?
I was more loud about it this year, I guess, than I have been.
I'm sorry, Neil. I got to call BS here. We got a Mississippi guy who's a Cubs fan. I think you're a bandwagon guy. I'm just going to call you out for it.
All right. So my dad, this makes it even crazier, but my dad was born in St. Louis, and when he was born at the time, Harry Carey, or when he was growing up, Harry Carey was with the Cardinals. Then he went to the Cubs. We followed the Cubs. I kind of, you know, down in Mississippi when I was growing up, it was WGN was the Cubs and TBS was the Braves, probably everywhere.
That's why I'm a Braves fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's, you know, me and my dad used to go on baseball trips every summer, and it always started with Chicago and St. Louis, and we'd just drive up the interstate, you know,
for
a week or two and go watch them. So I have been to a lot of games at Wrigley.
You just called him out.
He proved me wrong. That's all right.
This postseason, I really, really got to know their roster. I don't follow it great during the year, but this postseason, man, I think I watched almost every pitch. I was glued in.
How great was Game 7?
Unbelievable. When he brought Chapman in, I was like, oh, man. And then when he threw the pitch and Davis hit it, I mean, hit a bullet out, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
At that point, you just thought, it's over, right? All the momentum is switched. It's in Cleveland.
I mean, as a Cubs fan, you kind of start thinking, boy, this ain't good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried to act like I handled it calm. I don't think my wife would tell you that. But it was, that was awesome.
Did you talk to any of the guys on the football staff and rub it in their face?
No. I don't do that. Coach, you know, I think Coach, he is a diehard Redskins fan, but he'll flip baseball teams in a minute. And he just, you know, whoever's got a cool, you know, tweet handle, he's firing that one out. But I think him and Skip might have talked a little bit, but I don't know who he's pulling for. He might have been pulling for the Indians half the time.
Do you have an NFL team too?
Yeah, I'm a Saints fan.
Okay.
I'm a Saints fan. So we're 4-5 right now. But I didn't see the end of the game. I don't watch many of the games, and then obviously a lot of their games don't come on up here. But I think we could have won the game against the Broncos the other day, and they blocked the extra point and returned it.
I've never seen a game lost that way before. That's a first.
Yeah, that's, you know, growing up as a Saints fan and a Cubs fan, you see a lot of rough endings and kind of crazy things happen. But yeah, I do like the Saints. Again, I guess if they start winning, I'll start retweeting their stuff. Yeah. But right now, I'm not really doing it.
Okay. Odd question. Neil with two L's. What's going on here? It's like George with an S.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, what is with Iowa State players throwing on one extra, you know, letter at the end to make it confusing?
I don't know. Parents. And it's not even my first name, so it's my middle name. So,
is it? What's your first name?
Christopher. So
why do you go by Neil?
Again, above my pay grade on that one. Parents did it, you know, so I don't know why they. I think my dad had a really good friend that spelled it that way.
Uh-huh.
That's how we get it.
I never knew that, actually. I was Googling to find your Southeastern Louisiana stats.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And it popped up, that I spelled it wrong. And I go, that's not two balls.
Yep.
It's not, yeah.
That's it. We do it a little different.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, nice.
Yep. But,
well, Coach, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming
on.
Thank you,
guys. Thank you,
Coach.
We'll try to do this maybe every year after, you know, National Signing Day.
Yeah.
You guys will bring you on, let you talk about the players. And
awesome. That'd be great.
Keep doing the great job you're doing.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah. Really do. Appreciate all your support.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks again to our presenting sponsor, The Exercise Coach. We'll be back next week. And everybody have a great week.